This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. We have just launched our Fight With Light fundraising campaign for Seekers Hub Global, where our goal is to raise $60,000 in monthly donations by the end of the year. And all of this money will go towards fighting ignorance and fighting hatred and fighting extremism by spreading the light of knowledge and the light of guidance and the light of the way of our Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We hope that you'll join us in this fight, and you can do so by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate.
You're listening to The Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, who will be covering Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as Imam Zarnuji's guidance for seekers of knowledge regarding the ways of seeking knowledge. Ta'lim al-Mut'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allum.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala al-Nabiyy al-Mab'uthi rahmatan lil alamin Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad al-Da'i ila haqa'iq al-Iman wal-Islam wa ala alihi wa ashabihi alladhina salaku nahja al-Sirat al-Mustaqim ila rida Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we are in the final hadiths of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani's collection on 40 hadiths on Islam and Iman. And this is a really beautiful collection, reminding us of realities related to what Iman and Islam are and what they entail and some of the fruits of Iman and Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of its people. There's a beautiful treatise that I just wanted to point to before we look at tonight's lesson by Habib Ali al-Jifri called The Concept of Iman in Islam. And you can find this on the Royal Institute website online, and inshallah we'll be sharing a link to it in the lesson notes for this lesson, both the English of the PDF and the Arabic, both of which are available. It's an easy read, but it's a very clear exposition, alhamdulillah. And as you know, on Seekers we have a number of classes on Aqeedah that explain mainstream Islamic understanding of beliefs. So we reached hadith number 37. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن طعم الإيمان. So Sayyidina Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said there are three qualities. Whoever has them, they will find by them, وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ, they will find by them the taste of faith. The taste of faith. Right? Sometimes translated as the sweetness of faith, because الطعم in Arabic, taste is either حُلُو or مُر. Right? And sweetness is not literally like that which is sugary. الحلو, right? Is ma yahlu li shakhs, is that which a person finds pleasing. Wal marara, and bitterness is not bitter in the sense that, well, soya sauce is bitter, but in the sense of it is that which is difficult, it's displeasing. Right? So it's not related to the It's related to the pleasing and the displeasing, right? The praiseworthy and the blameworthy, not to literal sweetness and unsweetness. Right? They'll find through it the taste of faith, right? The sweetness of faith. And will find through it that faith is not merely an affirmation, but it is an experience. Right? And from this and many other such hadiths, the master of the spiritual path talked about that experience of finding Allah as wajd, as finding, right? Ecstasy. Right? And there's numerous hadiths that talk about that idea of finding the realities of faith and experiencing them. Okay? So when the masters of the spiritual path talk about it, they're using the vocabulary of the sunnah. Right? It is not, people say, oh, they got it from the Buddhists. Sorry. Okay. Thank you. Or whoever they, people come up with, name the influence. Whoever has three qualities will find through them the sweetness of faith. The first, من كان الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. Whoever finds Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more beloved to them than all other. Right? Anyone for whom Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to them than all other. Secondly, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. And whoever loves another, not loving them except for Allah. That there's no ulterior motive in that relationship. وَمَنْ يَكْرَهْ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ رواه البخاري ومسلم وغيرهما. And the third is, and whoever dislikes, whoever hates here, whoever hates to return to disbelief after Allah saved them from it, as they would hate to be thrown in the fire. And this does not refer only to the person who entered Islam. It also refers to the recognition of the gift of faith. Right? That Alhamdulillah الذي هدانا لهذا. That all praise is due to Allah who guided us to this. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ. And we would not have been guided had Allah not guided us. You say, well, I'm Muslim because my parents were Muslim. So how am I returning to kufr? Well, all those means that were facilitated, what deservingness did you have to be born in a Muslim family? What deservingness did you have to stumble upon that friend who nudged you towards taking the religion seriously? Who facilitated those teachers, those people you look at, all these things? It is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Were it not for all those means that Allah facilitated, we would be in the state of non-belief. We would be in the state of non-belief. So this is not specific to the one who enters Islam, but it applies to them, but it applies to everyone whom Allah has gifted with faith. Because either you have faith, and it's a gift, and if you don't, which is the default state, then the recognition that were it not for Allah's guiding, one would be in disbelief. Right? And one should hate that as one would hate to be literally thrown into a fire. Right? So three qualities. That whoever has them experiences the sweetness of faith. And these are three qualities that one should strive to nurture. Where am I with respect to this? The first, whomever Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to them than all else. وَعَلَامَةُ الْمَحَبَّةِ الْإِيثَارِ. The sign of love is preference. Right? Sign of love is preference. The sign of love isn't claims. Right? That when Allah when you know something is pleasing to Allah, corresponding to the way of His Messenger, one loves that because it's His way. And if something is displeasing to Allah, it's prohibited or disliked, or contrary to the Sunnah of the Messenger, one dislikes it because of that. Right? مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. There's many hadiths on, and it's one of the collections of 40 hadiths of Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabhani, of 40 hadiths in love and hate for the sake of Allah. The true lover of Allah is the one who loves what Allah loves, and who hates what Allah hates. Right? So this is, one needs to nurture this. It's not just, yeah, I do, right? But do you choose what love entails? Right? So that's the first sign. And these are things that one should ask ourselves. I want to experience the reality of faith. Yeah, the taste of something, right? It's like you see there's honey there, right? So I have some honey. But until you've tasted it, you don't know it. Similarly, faith is dead until experienced. Right? It is just, it's not dead, but it's not truly alive. Right? And this is why the first connection is the primacy of Allah and His Messenger. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul." Answer the call of Allah and His Messenger. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. When they call you to that which gives you life, to the extent that you don't answer the call of Allah and His Messenger, and that's what the lover says. Okay? سَلِّمْ لِسَلْمَ وَدُرْ حَيْثُ دَارَتْ. Surrender to Salma and turn wherever she turns. Right? That's the way of love. Where is the lover? The lover is chasing after the one they love. Right? So, this is the first quality. And one should ask oneself, right? And one of the things to ask is, when you have a difficult choice, to ask yourself, what is more beloved to Allah? And to strive to find. And if you don't find the answer, then make yourself embrace the answer, because it's what love entails. The second is to love another only for the sake of Allah. Why? Because the relationships we make, a lot of relationships are transactional. You like some, you know, you even when you say you like someone, you like them, well, but ultimately stripped away of everything. Why do you visit your parents? Well, because they feed you, right? You missed the, you didn't really inherit knowledge of cooking from them. So you visit them, they cook for you. And this keeps, you know, these social norms are layers of transaction. Right? I love my parents, they provide for me. That's transactional. Or just social norms. How can I not be nice to them? They raised me. Yeah. But that's still transactional. Who do you spend time with? Most people spend time with circles of association that are for some advantage. Whether it's professional advantage, doctors hang out with doctors, engineers with engineers, etc. So it's either some professional advantage, some social advantage. This is high status, like, you know, people mix in their circles of, or it's interests. You like golf, so you hang out with others who like golf. You like basketball, so you hang out with them. And then you give it a religious decoration, that these are religious people who like following hockey. Okay. That's all fine. But to love another only for the sake of Allah, and we are social beings, it is natural that we have these social inclinations. We're needy beings, our worldly needs are not fulfilled except through worldly associations and transactions. Transactional relationships. And they're couched in manners and etiquette and all these niceties, but stripped away, they're all transactional. But love, and that's why a lot of them are dead, because we go through the motions. But associating with someone solely for the sake of Allah is rare. It's rare. And this is a quality, right? This is a quality that is very central to the Sunnah of what is al-hubbu lillahi ta'ala, al-hubbu lillah. And we explained one of the hadith, one of the many hadiths on this, which is a hadith Qudsi, related regarding Sayyidina Mu'adh in Damascus. It's an amazing hadith of love and the qualities of those who love for the sake of Allah. But and we'll share that in the notes for this for this lesson. But one of the signs the ulama mention of loving for the sake of Allah is to strive to have, firstly, have at least some relationships in your life in which you have no worldly benefit whatsoever. So it's not because of the food. It's not because they like coffee too. It's not because they have the same interest. It's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ways of that is that you have people who are older than you, whom you associate with. You have nothing in common. You have nothing in common with them. Because even sometimes some of the religious meanings, they're still transactional. You spend time with them because you're both students of knowledge. Okay. So it's just, and one of the things, one of the categories of people to seek out, and there's a reason the Prophet ﷺ mentioned them, is those servants of Allah who are al-atqiyaul akhfiya, is those God-fearing servants of Allah who are not known to people. Very often they're older people who are not known. You can find them sometimes in the masajid. They may not speak as well as you would aspire to. They do not have anything in common with you. But to nurture that kind of relationship is one of the means of loving for the sake of only Allah. But then to nurture this meaning of loving others only for the sake of Allah is to renew one's intention in every human relationship that we have. Don't love your mother because she's your mother. Love her purely for the sake of Allah. Because who made her your mother? Allah. Right? So approach it with gratitude. Right? Don't love your spouse because they're so nice to you. Love them for the sake of Allah. So you love them even though they're not nice to you. Right? And this is a high meaning. And its expression are the adabu suhba, the proper manners of keeping company. Right? The proper manners of brotherhood. The adab with a teacher. The adab. Imam al-Ghazali summarizes what this entails in the final third of the beginning of guidance, where he talks about adab, the adab with the various categories of people in your life. If you nurture those qualities of the proper manners with teachers, with parents, with family, with friends, with neighbors, with strangers, etc., seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereby. Right? This is a high quality. And it's rare. It's rare. Right? Yeah, they say that as-sidqu fi sadiq aziz. Yeah? Trueness in a friend is rare. Right? they're always around. And then the third quality, of course, which we expounded on already, is to truly appreciate the gift of faith, right? That to hate the possibility of returning to disbelief, either because one experienced what it means not to believe in Allah, or the consideration that, you know, faith is only, it's a gift from Allah. Without it, if you don't have tasdeeq, without the affirmation of faith, one has non-faith, which is kufr. I won't hate that more than being thrown in the fire. Okay. This is related by Bukhari Muslim. So these are three things to nurture within oneself. Right? To strive to make every choice an expression of love of Allah and His Messenger. To strive to make every relationship, the motive in it is حُبًّا لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Every relationship. And it's good to do some personal accounting. What are the relationships I have in life? Why do I have these relationships? Okay. And wafa, and part of loving another for the sake of Allah is to have wafa, is to be loyal, right? Meaning doesn't matter what happened, because it's for Allah, so it doesn't matter. It's like a friend of mine, he used to be attitudinally divergent. Met him in Damascus. He was still kind of wild, to be honest. But he mentioned, he was with one of these groups, a brother came from Jamaat al-Tabligh, and says, brother, my salvation and your salvation is in following the commands of Allah. You know, gave the whole Tabligh spiel. He said, true, it's true. We just heard it so much, we smile. It's every word of it's true. He says, come with me for 3 days. And I don't know what this brother was taking, but he spat on the brother's face. But the brother just wiped it off. He says, brother, I love you for the sake of Allah. Please come with me. Because right? He wasn't calling him because he thought he'd be nice company. He's calling him for the sake of Allah. So he just wiped away the spit. And I got the extra detail. He had cleared his throat before spitting, right? To, you know, make it impactful. Just wiped it away and said, brother, I don't mind that. And this is, because what is the reality of things? They are Allah's. هذا خلق الله. This is Allah's creating. Right? As one of the poets said, لي في تمثال الثلجة أكبر عبرة لمن كان في بحر المعاني في بحر المعارف راقي شخوص وأشكال تمر وتنقضي فَتَفْنَ جَمِيعًا وَالْمُحَرِّكُ بَاقِي. Says, I have in ice the greatest of reminder for one who in the ocean of meanings is well established. Persons and forms that come and pass away all perish and the mover remains. So that's the reality. هذا خلق الله. This is the creating of Allah. Right? And gratitude for faith. Always remember the great gift of faith. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. They say تعرف الأمور بأضدادها. Things are known by their opposites. To appreciate the gift of iman, to consider how would life be without faith? How would eternity be without faith? نسأل نشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى على نعمه. حديث number 38 عن أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. And it's related from Abu Umama, may Allah be well pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever loves for Allah and hates for Allah and gives for Allah and withholds for Allah has truly completed their faith. إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My prayer and my devotion, my living and my dying are all for the sake of Allah. Right? Where is it manifest? The trueness of that is manifest in your choices. Why do you like something? For Allah. Why do you dislike something? For Allah. Why do you give? You give for Allah. Why do you not give? It is even more difficult. For Allah. Because there's something more pleasing to Allah that you're doing. It's not just because you don't feel like it. There's something more pleasing to Allah that you are directing it towards. And such a person has completed their faith. Hadith number 39. عن عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله حرم الله تعالى عليه النار رواه مسلم. This is confirming a meaning that's come before, but لحسن الختام there's براعة استهلال, appropriate beginning, but there's also حسن اختتام or براعة اختتام, a good way of ending, right? Which is an ending that encapsulates what you have just covered. So he says, whoever bears witness that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, Allah makes forbidden for them the fire. Right? But they say that the bearing witness is with the tongue and with your actions. For your actions to confirm, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة رواه أبو داود. So Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, may Allah be well pleased with him, relates that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله. Notice the كان, the خبر of كان is مقدم, okay? It's like من كان لا إله إلا الله آخر كلامه كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله. Whoever's last words are لا إله إلا الله enters paradise. رواه أبو داود. And the ulama say from that, this alone would be sufficient on the virtues of saying لا إله إلا الله. Because if you don't know when your ending is, and your whole life is by how you die, and you want to die well, then you should say La ilaha illallah as much as you can, because you don't know when you'll die. Because it increases your chances of dying on saying La ilaha illallah. Okay? So, and there's many hadiths that affirm that meaning itself. Right? So, and we know that the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of what I and the prophets before me have come with is La ilaha illallah. Right? So one should, and from all we've seen in this chapter, my counsel to myself and you is to renew our resolve to make much remembrance of this noble expression. If one understands its meanings, that La ilaha illallah, that there's none worthy of worship but Allah. La ma'buda bihaq illallah. La ilaha illallah. That la mustaghni amma siwah, muftaqir ilayhi kullu ma'adah illallah. That there's none free of need of any other, whom all are in absolute need of except Allah. La khaliqa illallah. That there's no creator but Allah. La nafi'a illallah. La darra illallah. There's none who benefits but Allah. None who harms but Allah. لا هادية إلا الله لا معطية إلا الله. No guide but Allah. No giver but Allah. No withholder but Allah. لا رافعة إلا الله. None who raises but Allah. لا خافضة إلا الله. None who abases but Allah. Right? One understands that all the meanings of faith, guidance, good, all realities are encompassed in this. Then as Imam al-Sanusi says, فَعَلَى الْعَاقِلِ أَن يُكْثِرَ مِن ذِكْرِ هَذِهِ اللَّفْظَةِ الشَّرِيفَةِ. So it's incumbent upon the person of intelligence to make much mention of this noble statement, حتى تمتزج بلحمه ودمه, until it becomes mixed with their very flesh and blood. Right? And then one will behold marvels, because it changes one's whole consciousness. And they say Muhammadun Rasulullah is the sharh of La ilaha illallah. But what is your bearing witness to Muhammadun Rasulullah is how you strive to uphold the sunnah in your life. The final hadith of the collection, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الإيمان بضع وستون شعبة والحياء شعبة من الإيمان رواه البخاري. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, faith is 60 odd branches. And in some other narrations, 70 odd branches. And in some narrations, 77 branches. And also bid'ah can be, you know, they differ on exactly how much bid'ah is, but some said it would be understood to mean seven, considering the narrations together. So faith is 60 something, you know, branches. And وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And modesty, diffidence, is a branch of faith, meaning is a great branch of faith. But what is, and this is related by Imam al-Bukhari, what is haya? Imam al-Junayd was asked, what is haya? So he said, haya, modesty, is to consider the tremendousness of Allah's favor upon you and the tremendousness of your falling short in what Allah deserves. Said between these two considerations, there arises a state that is haya, that is shyness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you consider the greatness of God, you consider the tremendousness of Allah, what Allah deserves, and you consider how you are, between those two things, the state that arises is shyness, right? Diffidence, modesty. Next lesson, we look at a discussion that what are the branches of faith? Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that faith is 60 odd branches, some other narration, 70 odd branches. So ulama were very keen to know, what are these branches? So they looked at the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he mentioned such and such thing, min al iman, that such and such thing is from faith, or that iman is such and such. So they listed them. Some of them tried to classify them. Amongst them, some of the great imams of hadith, such as Ibn Hibban, particularly, and others. Imam al-Bayhaqi, al-Halimi, one of the great Shafi'i fuqaha and theologians, who came before Imam al-Bayhaqi. Okay? They tried to arrange them, that okay, some relate to faith, some relate to practice, etc. So they classified them in different ways. Ibn Kathir has a beautiful treatise when he looks at the ones that are explicitly mentioned in hadith. Such and such thing is from faith. So he gathered those. Other ulama, of course, said it's not lil hasr. Right? It's not just any of those. So it's not necessarily the case that there's only these branches. Every act of good is a branch of faith. Right? Because faith entails directing yourself to all that will be pleasing to Allah and keeping away from all that will be displeasing to Allah. Of the meanings of Iman, Islam, and Ihsan. But this is an area worthy of a little more exposition, so we'll look at that in the next Roha with the classification given by Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar mentions from some of the great scholars, inshallah. So we look at that. We would recommend very highly the abridgment of Imam al-Bayhaqi's work, Shu'ab al-Iman, by al-Qazwini, which is translated to English as the 77 branches of faith. So it's a beautiful, so you want to share with someone, what are the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him? What do Muslims believe? A very practical way is to share that, well, this is what Muslims believe. That if you believe, this is what it means to believe in God, but then what does belief in God entail? This is what the branches of faith are. It's a beautiful work, and Sheikh Abdul Hakim Murad is the translator, and it's one of the best, small collections of hadith available in English. So we'll do that tomorrow, along with looking at the adab of the student. And then the next collection of 40 hadiths is on the virtues of the remembrance of Allah. The virtues of the remembrance of Allah, regarding which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, and I will remember you. And the ulama said, if there's nothing else mentioned by Allah and His Messenger on the virtues of dhikr except this, it will be enough for the intelligent person. You want Allah to remember you in all ways. Remember Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people of dhikr. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabina Muhammad alladhi kana yadhkuru Allah ala kulli ahyanihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening to The Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help Seekers Hub give light to millions around the world by supporting us through monthly donations by going to seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US and Canada.